All right, Ivy. Ivy, you are a or you were a correctional officer.
Yes. Yeah.
Where at?
I was a correctional officer, Allegheny County Jail, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
What made you want to get into that field?
Well, no one really grows up and says, "Hey, I want to be a correctional officer when I grow up." I just kind of got there going through jobs, but mainly it was because of law enforcement. I initially wanted to go in law enforcement, but it took a while for training. I think about like 6 to 8 months if I wanted to be a police officer in my city. And I kind of wanted to start working right away. And the training at the jail was about like 10 weeks, I believe, at the time, 8 to 10 weeks. And they said after we graduate, you can make 6 figures a year.
There you go.
Yeah. I mean, 6 figures a year, like it looks good on paper. You know what I mean? Like it looks good making that amount of money a year. But once you think about your taxes and the pension and everything taken out, you're like, God damn. I mean,
Cost of living catches up.
yeah, cost of living, gas is high, just everything's high. So you really had to make that overtime. For me specifically, I really had to do a lot of overtime if I wanted to go ahead and be all right financially.
What kind of facility is that?
Allegheny County
Allegheny
Jail.
is a maximum security, or
So it's
it's a jail, so.
yeah, it's a jail. We well, there were men and women there that were in their, I guess juveniles were there. They housed juveniles.
It's like a county jail.
It's a county jail right in the city, right downtown in the heart of Pittsburgh, PA.
And what kind of inmates would you see there?
So mainly, I was working with about 80, roughly 85 to like 90, 95 inmates on a given day. Mainly men. I work with the adult men. Yeah.
But what kind of offenses would they have?
There were people down there for all types of stuff. You had the murderers down there, you had the rapists, you had the pedophiles, you had the drug dealers. You had people who were just mentally ill. There were all types of people down there.
Is mental illness like a undercurrent for all of it?
Not most of them, but some of them, yes. Yeah, some of them.
Were there cases that that stand out in your memory? People that you saw?
Yeah. I'm trying to think. There's so many stories and crazy stuff that people were in there for. You had girls in there that were accused of killing babies, children.
Really?
You had guys in there that were the ones that stood out to me the most. I'm gonna be honest, like really, I didn't mind being around the murderers and all the killers. That didn't really faze me. I grew up on the north side of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, so growing up over there when I was younger, that was a little bit rough. But to get to the point of what I'm trying to say is, what really bothered me was working in protective custody with pedophiles.
Trying to protect them from the other inmates.
Well, it seems like the system they had ran there, they would classify them, most of them, I don't know about all of them, but most of them would be classified under protective custody. And they were very, very, very weird. I don't know how to describe it. I don't know if it's because I was a female or I don't know, but they creeped me out more than any other inmate with the worst charges in the jail. It was just something about the pedophiles. I couldn't really work with them. Yeah.
And that's probably a, they're not safe amongst the other inmates, right?
No, of course not. I mean, they would fight each other. sometimes you would have guys that would check out of PC and go back to general population. But most of them, they were like, they were all tough around each other, but they were in protective custody, which I never understood. But yeah, they kind of, they creeped me out a little bit. I'm not going to lie. Like, a lot.
Mm.
A lot.
And your story is interesting. You have, you had something that happened to you when you were working at Allegheny.
Yeah. Yeah. Made a mistake, but I owned up to it. I was not really surprised that I got suspended for what I did, but I'm a little embarrassed to admit that I did something at the jail that I should have known as being professional, but I had happened to fall for an inmate that was housed down there.
Mm. How long was this relationship?
So I wouldn't say it was a relationship. It was just more like a friendship, you know, cause I was working about like 16 hours. Even after my first year, it was, optional to work overtime that much. So still I was like so used to getting my paycheck a certain way and I always wanted more. And, you know, at least if I wasn't doing 80 hours, at least around, I would come in for an extra shift on my day off, 88, sometimes 96 if I really want to be greedy. And I got a little content. Just making time go bad when you're down there with inmates, you know, you're not really doing anything but watching them. They watch you. And I kind of gravitated towards him. Yeah.
And you got fired for being friendly with him?
Well, initially they caught me. They were like,
Caught you doing what?
No, they caught me. They caught me from home.
Oh, they called you.
Yeah, I'm on vacation. And they're like, hey, Miss Moore, CO Moore, we have to suspend you for not, initially they said not reporting a relative or someone that I initially knew on a pod. I said, I'm trying to play it off. I'm like, what do you mean? You know, I said, I already reported my brother who was down there at the time. I said, I already reported him, you know? So I was trying to play it off. I knew what they were talking about. So they were like, all right, well, we have to do an investigation on you. It's going to take a few weeks. We'll let you know what's going on and we'll let you come in for a hearing. I was like, all right. So, I was upset. I'm not going to sit here and lie and act like I was okay with losing my job. No one wants to lose their job. But I know what I did. I owned up to it, and I was wrong for what I did. So, after that...
How far did the relationship go?
We still keep in contact to this day.
But you were friendly, and that was it? You played cards once in a while? What?
I mean... I was always in his face. We were always talking. I played favoritism a lot while I was on my pod on a housing unit. I had favorites, but he was one of my favorite inmates at the jail.
And what does a favorite inmate get that the other ones don't?
I mean, sometimes I would bring them like lunch, food from my house, little perks like that. I would let him come out as an extra worker, even though he wasn't a worker. Usually the workers, they're inmates, of course, and they clean the pod up, keep it together, sweep, mop everything down, clean the desk off, clean out the day room. So I was letting him come out, you know, as soon as count cleared, I popped his door, I let him out. He's out before everybody.
What was he in there for?
Robbery.
Hmm.
Yeah, he was in there for robbery charges.
And you were spending more time with him than you should have?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we were, you know, the nature of the job is care, custody, and control. I think it was a little, I don't know, I was doing a little bit more than caring, custody, and control. Just playing favoritism with him. We never did anything like physically down there, nothing physical. But it started to become very noticeable. All the other inmates, they noticed it. I know the cameras, we were always watching. Because when you work in corrections, you're always, most of the time, most corrections, I don't know about other facilities, but you work in corrections, you're always under the microscope. You're always under the camera. There's no secrets in jail. Everything you think you can get away with, you're not. They'll eventually catch you.
Mm-hmm. There are a lot of women I've learned who are attracted to guys that are incarcerated. Would you say that you have some of that as well?
As a woman that was not working in corrections?
As a woman. Like some women are just into guys that are...
No.
No?
No. Me being a regular civilian and...
I've interviewed a couple of who have like
got... Yeah, yeah, I hear about stuff like that. They write them letters and stuff like that.
No, getting married and stuff like that.
Yeah. Do they know some of them?
Do they know some of
who? Like, do they know the inmates? Like, or they just meet
no,
them?
No, they just find them and start writing them. And next thing you know, they're flying from Europe to Indiana to be with them.
Oh, no. No, I kind of got to know him a little bit. I have to get a feel for you first. I have to form some type of connection. And the connection with him, he was always making me laugh, making me smile. I mean, the way I would cope with getting through my 16 hours at work, I would laugh, humor. Mm-hmm. We make fun of people. We make fun of the inmates. We make fun of people that always want to come up to my desk and need something, you know.
That's just being human.
Yeah, yeah.
We all do that.
Yeah, you know, and then I would find myself getting a little bit more irritated. It would be like a 7:30 in the morning. You got a guy coming up to my desk. Hey, CO, you trying to check my charges for me? I want to see if my detainer got lifted. I'm trying to see if they set my bond. Excuse me, hold on. You're in here for murder. Why you think you got a bond? You know, so some of the stuff like, I don't know. Some of that stuff would just like, it would irritate me, but then I would laugh right after. Yeah.
So this relationship never, I mean, is there even an opportunity for it to get sexual when he's in prison?
You could.
You could?
Yeah, you could.
But this one didn't.
No, this one didn't. If you're bold enough, you can do it.
Are there a lot of women COs?
Yeah, we have quite a few women COs that work down there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Of course.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Was there violence in prison? Stuff like that?
Oh, yeah.
What kind of stuff do you see at Allegheny?
I'll never forget the time where I was working on like a medium max pod with the men, of course. And we had this guy walk into my pod on the housing unit. He come through the Sally port. And the Sally port is like an entryway to get inside the pod where the rest of the inmates were. He walks through. He kind of tough. Hey, where you got me going? Who am I selling up with? Who's gonna be my cellie? The cellie's a cellmate. You know, who's going to be my cellmate? Who's my cellie? So I'm like, all right, bro, like, calm down. You know, give me a second. Let me go ahead, check my senses, make sure I can get you an open cell, you know. So he had a kufi on his head. He's Muslim. So when I was down there, I tried to keep the Muslim brothers with the Muslim brothers. I never tried to put them in a cell with a man that was not a Muslim. So I tried to respect that. So I said, hey, look, bro, I got one open cell for you. He's another Muslim. Would you like, you know, go see if he's cool with, you know, selling up with you, or I can find you another cellie? He's like, all right, that's a bet. So he walks to the cell, and people start asking me, like, hey, like, more, what's he in here for? you know, what's this nigga in here for? They kept saying that. Excuse my language, but that's how they talked on her. Like, that, what was he in here for? I said, oh, I don't, you know, I can't, as officers, we're not liable to give that information out. We can't look up people's charges for other inmates. That's a no-no. So I don't know how they found out. I don't know if they checked his paperwork, checked his tablet. I don't know, but someone said he was in there for touching a little girl. So I'm like, okay. So I confirmed that myself without telling the inmates. I just wanted to make sure this was what he was in here for, you know? So he's like, yeah, so anyway, I did confirm to myself, not to the inmates, that he was in here as a child predator. So as he enters the cell with the other Muslim, that was already in that cell, he comes to my desk. He like, hey, Ms. Moore, like, and I don't know disrespectful shit, but I can't have him in my cell. He got to go. I said, okay, well, I'll figure it out. You know, let me just, you know. So I told the dude, I said, go ahead, get your belongings, get your blanket. Just pack your stuff in another room. So I had another inmate that comes up to me. Now, keep in mind, the pod that I was working on, they were all young. They were young. 18, 19. The average age was about 23, 24. They were young. And they stuck together. They were all clicked up down there. Most of them were from the same hood. And so one of the other inmates, he comes down. He's not a Muslim, but he comes down to me. He like, Miss Moore, no, he got to get off the block. I'm like, what? What's, you know, like I said, I already knew what was going on, so I'm trying to play it off. I'm like, guys, what do you mean? You just can't tell him to leave the block, you know? They're like, no, he's a pedophile. He got to go, you know, he got to go. So I was, all right, let me see how this plays out. It's never a good thing when you get a pedophile in general population. It never works out. Something's going
to
happen.
Aren't they supposed to be in PC?
Yeah. Sometimes they don't make it to PC. Sometimes there's not enough room. It's not enough room up there. Mm. Or either they just might sprinkle you throughout the jail. So anyway, the dude starts packing his stuff up. As he's packing up his stuff, they're yelling, and you know, they're like angry, like, yo, hurry up, you gotta get the fuck off the block, get the fuck off the block. He steps back out of his cell, like he's moving something. He bends down, act like he's picking something up. He just swings, boom! He swung on a brother. No, they weren't twins, but they were related. They were brothers. He swung on one of the brothers that were locked up together at the jail. And he swings on him, and instantly, I see about, at least, like, they said it was an 8-on-1 fight. I know for a fact it was way more people than 8.
All taking on the pedophile?
Yeah, there was way more people than 8 inmates that jumped him. There were so many inmates that jumped him, they couldn't even identify who was who on camera and, you know, their card, paperwork. They couldn't do none of that. So anyway, they start fighting. He punches him. His face is bloody. One of the brothers, his face is bloody. And he's leaking. They all came down from the top tier. Some of them came out their cell. Some of them came out the showers. They were just, like, spawning. And, they whooped his ass so bad. They had to break up the fight with the goon squad. The goon squad is the critical response unit team. They come in there and they respond to all fights, codes, anything that happens, emergencies. So they came in there with these they're guns, but they just make like a big boom sound, you know. Sort of like a flash grenade, something like that, but it's not a flash grenade. I forgot what they're called. Oh, my God. But anyway, they came in. The fight was at least happening for a little bit before They broke it up because we had so many officers responding to the unit. They didn't have enough handcuffs to put people in. So we had like three officers come on. I had to stay at my panel per protocol so I can let all the guys back in their cell. So I'm standing at the panel trying to pop the doors, let everybody in. And like I said, the goon squad, they come in with that gun. Boom. That noise was so loud. It's sort of like a cannonball going off or something. I don't know how to describe, like a dynamite. It's loud. I was so scared. I started ducking. I'm like, oh, you know. So, yeah, that was one of the most craziest of.
What happened to the guy who was getting beaten up?
So they all went to the whole restrictive housing unit. They went to the whole. But eventually he ended up checking into PC. Yeah, that was crazy. Do have another story about this guy that was at Allegheny County Jail. I'll never forget him. So he was, at the time when I met him, he was 23. I didn't know much about him, because he was in a hole prior to when I started. So he was in a hole for about like, I think like 6 to 8 months almost. He was in a hole for a while. I didn't know about him. I didn't really hear much about him. I just knew that from another staff member that he was at the time considered one of the most dangerous inmates that we had at Allegheny County Jail. And I didn't even know his name. I remember he got straight out the hole. He did his time in the hole, and he went back in the general population. And keep in mind, this guy was about 250 pounds. 23 years old, but he was all solid muscle. I mean, he was built like Mike Tyson or Arnold Schwarzenegger in his prime. Like, he was cut up. And he was cut up, he was dangerous, and he was mentally ill. There was really something wrong with him. And I'll get into that later, what was actually wrong with him. But so he walks on the pod, and he was like, he had like this deep voice. He like, "Hey, what's up, Miss Moore? Where you gonna put me at? Who am I going in the cell with?" I was like, "Yeah, give me a second, let me figure it out. Check my senses, check the computer and all that." And I put him in a cell with another guy that was a little bit older than him. They got along, but this guy liked to work out. He liked to do push-ups, sit-ups all the time, you know. So he always felt like having a cellmate. He always felt like they were in his way of working out and exercising. So at the time, I needed a worker on the pod. And I was short like two people. So I was like, "Oh, well, you know, I'm hiring for workers. I can use you as a worker, you know. That way you can get a sale by yourself." So, I hired him as a worker. And he was doing pretty good. He seemed like he was keeping himself in order, preoccupying himself by working and mopping the floors. And at least like a day later, I want to say at least a day or two later, they told me I couldn't have him as a worker, like fire him as a worker. He's too dangerous to be a worker. I didn't know. I'm like, "Well, you know, he's fine, you know." I'm like, "He seems fine to me. He just wants to be out in the pod working and, you know, exercising and minding his own business." I didn't think he was a problem. They're like, "No." They were like, "Do you see how he acts?" I said, "No, I mean, he's not no problem. I really don't have a problem with this guy." So me and one of the sergeants, you know, he had to fire him. He didn't take it too lightly. He was not happy that he got fired. So he comes to me after they fire him. He said, "Miss Moore, Robert, why they fire me?" I said, "I don't know, man. They said you're too dangerous to be a worker, you know. You shouldn't be a worker." So I told him that you're a threat to the facility. He was like, "Okay." He looked at me. He was like, "That's a bet." I'm like, "What's that supposed to mean? Like, what do you mean, that's a bet?" You know, now I'm scared, you know, shit. So, he was like, "Don't nobody believe in me, man. This is crazy, you know. I just want to come down here, do my time, and I just want to just stay to myself. I don't know why these people keep bothering me." So, he did not come out his cell that day after they fired him. So I said, "Look, like, are you all right, you know?" He's having a conversation in a cell. And keep in mind, his tablet was charging. So he didn't have his tablet to talk to someone on the phone. So as I'm talking to him, we had like an intercom that the inmates can talk to us through two-way speaker. And he hit his button to talk to me on the speaker while he's in the cell. He's like, "Miss Moore, I'm just like, I feel myself like getting upset." I was like, "Yeah, man, I know, you know. I'm just saying, I'm sorry I fired you. There's nothing I can really do about it." I said, "I can just try to keep doing your cell by yourself. Is that okay? Make you single cell status." So he's like, "Yeah, that's fine." But he said, "I'm just really having a hard time in here. I need somebody to talk to." So as I'm listening to him talking, like I said, keep in mind his tablet was charging. He didn't have access to his tablet. He's in his cell having a full-blown conversation with himself. He's saying stuff like, "You don't love me anymore." I mean, this man is talking to the void. He's talking to nothing. He's like, I'm gonna kill her. You know, I'm gonna kill her." I said, "Oh my God." I said, "I hope he's not talking about me." I said, "I hope he's not talking about me." He's like, "Yeah, when I see her, I'm gonna stab her up to death. I'm gonna stab her up to death." I'm like, yeah, I'm like getting scared now. You know, I'm like, "Oh, hold on." Like, you know, so he started to become very obsessed with me. So he finally came out his cell, but I kept an eye on him. I'm like watching him. I'm making sure my back is against the wall, making sure when I'm doing my rounds, he's not waiting in the corner somewhere to try to get me or anything like that. I'm on my P's and Q's. I'm very observant of him now. So, he would stand by my desk all day. He's like, "You don't understand. You got these other inmates, you know, they talking to you. I don't think they know, you know, you're my wife. You know, I told him you need to leave her alone. We're going to get married one day."
He's telling you this?
Yeah. I said, "What?" Now, should I have let him out? I mean, should I have made him a worker? No, I didn't know. You know, I didn't know he was crazy like that. So that was my own fault for even hiring him as a worker and giving him that opportunity. But I've built a rapport with him. He started to listen to me. He was respectful. But there were just times when he snapped out, and it got bad. I mean, it was to the point that one time I'm walking around, I'm doing my rounds. He grabs me by my hair. I didn't want to make it all obvious like I was scared because I didn't want to call a code to, you know. Yeah, I could have called a code to say I needed help, I needed assistance, but I brushed it off. I was able to walk away and de-escalate the situation. he's looking at me. I'm walking around doing my rounds. Every time I'm doing my rounds to walk up the steps, come back downstairs, he's going like this the whole time looking at me. I'm watching him watch me. And I'm like, yo, you good? Like, you all right? Like,
That's tiring after a day of that
yeah.
for you.
Hell yeah. I'm like, are you all right? Because I said, you're starting to scare me a little bit. They called him Goon. I was scared of him. I was scared to tell him to back away from my desk without triggering him. And like I said, I could have called a code. I could have called a refusal to lock in. But I really didn't call codes unless I was really in immediate danger or there was a threat to me or unless there was a fight happening. But for myself, I didn't want him to get triggered and hurt somebody else or hurt him or hurt another staff member because he's done that before. So, he was standing at my desk. He would look at me. He wouldn't blink his eyes. I mean, he would look, I mean, at least he would blink, but he would look at me for about like at least 15 seconds without blinking. And he would say stuff like, yeah, we're gonna get married one day, and I'm gonna take you out the country and all this stuff. I was like, nah, man. I said, you gotta chill. Like you kind of just, I never met somebody that was mentally ill, but see, it's a little bit different for me. I don't know how to deal with this. So I had a mouse pad on my desk. I had a mouse and a keyboard and a computer. He grabs up my mouse pad and my mouse and slams his hands on the desk. It was so loud, all the inmates they were playing cards and stuff, and they looked over and to see what was going on. It got quiet, so now I'm the center of attention. And he looked at me. He smiled and said, "You really scared of me, huh?" I was like, "Yeah, a little bit." I mean, I said, "I'm not gonna lie. Like, you're starting to creep me out." Yeah, you know. So, it just seemed like after he was fired as a worker, everything went downhill. Everything went down bad. So, on my day off work, I wasn't at work at the time. But one of my coworkers, they're like, yeah, your crazy boy went back to the hole. I said, oh, damn. I said, what did he do this time? What did he do? So he beat somebody up in an area that was hidden off camera. It wasn't a cell, it was just another place where we kept the tablets to charge. So he beat him up inside that room. And he's breaking the tablets one by one, breaking them ahead. And now, them tablets that the county had, or most jails have, they're very durable. They can be broken. But once they're broken, you can use them as a weapon, the glass in there. So we don't want that to happen. So he's breaking the tablets one by one. He broke about at least, they said, like six, seven tablets. And when he broke the tablets, I come back. The inmates were telling me, yeah, Miss Moore, he broke the tablets and said there was crack inside of them. I said, crack? I said, what, crack cocaine? What do you mean crack? They was like, yeah, he said he broke the tablets because, he was trying to get the crack out of there. Said, what? I'm like, well, I mean, what else happened? And they're like, he's saying that he did this all because of you. I said, me. I didn't do nothing to him. I gave him a chance to be a worker on the pod. I didn't do anything to him. He just couldn't be a worker because he was deemed a threat to the facility. So anyway, how I found out he was a little mentally ill, he told me he had a lot of trauma in his childhood. He said his mom was mentally ill. And he also told me that he's schizophrenic and hears voices in his head. For someone to tell me that, that's really that big, Like I said, all muscle, big guy. I mean, every day he was busting out some push-ups, busting out some chin-ups, whatever. So for him to say that and to be that sass, that was the first time I ever dealt with something like that. Now, we get training and we get these courses that we take inside the jail to learn about the behaviors and signs of mentally ill people. I don't think he should even have been placed in general population. That's another thing that needs to be assessed, excuse me, that needs to be addressed inside jails. Putting these guys that are mentally ill in general population pods. I mean, I know you have to give them a chance to, be in general population, but it becomes a threat to not only other inmates, but to the staff as well. So, yeah. But I'm glad I don't have to deal with that anymore. That was crazy.
It's scary to think that, his sentence is whatever time it is, and then eventually he'll be back on the street again. People like that.
And that's what worries me, because he told me. He told me. He pointed it in my face. It was like, when I get out, I'm gonna come looking for you. So I'm like, all right, I don't know if I should just report that, ignore it, or just try to stay clear because Pittsburgh's a small city. It's very, very small. Everybody knows somebody inside that city, so it's really not hard to find people that you come across people all the time. Like me personally, for myself, I came across since I was I had resigned before they terminated me because I knew they would terminate me. But since I resigned, I've seen so many inmates, out in the streets. Yeah. Yeah. And most of them, they were respectful, very respectful. I mean, you can talk to people a certain way and you can have some respect and a little bit of dignity for these people that are housed and incarcerated in there. It goes a long way.
Were there things you learned from working that job that helped you just in general, just dealing with other people?
Yeah.
What kind of things you learn?
Communication. And another officer told me this. He was a senior officer who had been down there for like 20 plus years. And he said, Miss Moore, everybody that works inside of corrections brings something to corrections. And let me elaborate on that a little bit more. So what I'm trying to say, if you're a misogynist, is that the word? Somebody that hates women. If you're a misogynist on the outside, you're going to be the same person in there hating women. If you're a racist on the outside, you're going to be a racist working inside the jail. You get what I'm trying to say? If you and they're messy, if you out there messy and gossiping about everybody and you want to be in everybody else's business, you're going to be the same way in jail. You don't change. So that kind of stuck with me when he had told me that, because I used to get offended a lot when, I would walk down the hall and I always had a positive, outgoing personality. That's just always been me. And I had another officer tell me, like, we go in the elevator. I'm like, hey, good morning. I'm smiling. Yeah, it's early, but I still speak to people. But after a while, that changed. And one of the officers told me, like, need to wipe that smile off your face. You know, it ain't going to get you anywhere here. I was like, okay. It kind of dimmed my light a little bit. It did kind of, you know, make me feel some type of way. I'm like, okay, well, maybe this is just like the nature of corrections. Let me just like try to toughen up a little bit more and try to make myself, you know, I don't know what to call it, switch up for them or feel validated. I don't know. But sometimes there will be people I would say, hello, hey, how you doing? And I'm speaking to first. I'm always extending myself to say hi. And they wouldn't speak back. They keep on walking. I'm like, what? And I'm new at the time. So I'm like, what is it? What is it? Like, am I ugly? What is it? Like, you know what I mean? I'm not saying anything back. You know what I mean? But I kind of accepted the fact it was about all the hours, overtime, just the negative environment. Because it's an underappreciated job. Yeah, it's very underappreciated.
So. Especially when there's dangers like what you were dealing with.
Yeah. Yeah.
And looking back, so you've lost your job.
Yeah.
Are you looking for a career in anything similar to what you were doing, or just you're giving up on that?
Oh, no, I would never go back to corrections.
No. Do you not recommend it?
Excuse me. I recommend it. I would recommend anyone to work in corrections.
Yeah.
Just to see what it's like inside those walls. To see what goes on inside of there. I would highly recommend it. It's not for some people. It wasn't for me. So, no, I would not go back into corrections. I'm not putting on another uniform just to, especially another jail. I have to start all over again and get a feel for other inmates. It's not worth it. No.
All right. Ivy, thank you so much for sharing your story.
Okay.
I wish you luck with whatever you do from here.
Yeah, thank you.